Our Bibles, the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. I want to encourage you to be here every service. Please get to know these missionaries personally. And as you can still hear, I still have somewhat of a pastor's heart. I want to encourage you to do that. Get to know them on a personal level. I'm trying my very best to remember some of your names. Amen. And so I may call you the wrong person. If I do, I apologize. But we definitely want to get to know you better. Revelation chapter 20, while you're turning there, if you can't find Revelation, it's in the very back of the book. Just go to the very last book of the Bible and find chapter 20. I want to give you my testimony. I didn't always grow up here in the United States. I was sharing this with our teenagers this morning, the teenage class. I grew up in the Bahamas. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking, right, Brother Nathan? You are suffering for Jesus. Well, I will tell you that where I lived, there were no cruise ships. There were fishing boats. And there were no tourists. There were mosquitoes that take your dog off and eat him. Okay? The mosquitoes were horrible there. 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you want to get inside. My dad was a bush pilot and a missionary there. He planted Macedonia Baptist Church in a little settlement called Dead Man's Key. The island was called Long Island. It took a lot of imagination in naming that place. Amen. There was one road you couldn't get lost. And if you didn't like eating mutton, fish, or chicken, you just didn't live for long. Amen. But my dad, on a Thursday night, my dad was preaching. And when he gave the invitation, I didn't walk down the aisle. I ran down the aisle. And I began to pull my dad's pant leg. And my dad literally said, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. And it wasn't because he was getting spiritual. He was just trying to figure out what in the world was going on with his son. And when he leaned over, I said, Dad, I need to get saved. And my dad had the privilege of leading me to Christ. When we came back to the States, I had something that takes place with a lot of missionaries. When they go to the foreign field, I had it coming back to the United States. It's called culture shock. And my very first service was at Faith Baptist Church. And as the singing is going on, my dad noticed I'm not worshiping like I normally do. I wasn't even singing. I was just staring at people. Dad leaned over to me and said, son, is everything okay? Are you okay? I said, Daddy, they're all white. See, I live in an island with black people. I had never seen that many white people before. And it shocked and amazed me. And I'm so grateful my parents sent me to a Christian school. It was there that the Lord began to speak to my heart. I heard during chapel service, I heard my principal say this all the time. You have two choices on the shelf, choosing God or choosing self. Which will you choose? And I'm so grateful I chose the things of God. At the age of 15, I surrendered to be a missionary. I had no idea where I was going. All I knew was God wanted to use me, and I wanted to be used. And so I put myself out there, and at the age of 16, I surrendered to preach, and I've been loving it ever since. We find it here in the Word of God. This is an incredible chapter. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? The Bible says this in verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now this next verse I'm about to read is pretty hard for people to swallow. But it's still Bible. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven, new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Verse 4 is where we'll take our text this morning. I'm going to read it again. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for this exciting day. Lord, thank you, Father, Lord, for the potential of this conference. And Lord, what you're going to do in every heart this morning. Now, God, I pray, Lord, for a fresh touch from heaven. God, may you fill my mouth with your words. Lord, may souls be saved today, and Lord, may lives be changed. And God, I pray, may you open our eyes, Lord, to the reality that this world is dying and going to a devil's hell. And Lord, I pray to God, Lord, it's been somewhat the theme of even this morning's service. Lord, what are we going to do about it? Now, God, I pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, may you help us in this message. Lord, challenge us. Lord, may these altars be filled with people, Lord, whose eyes are wet with tears. But we ask these things in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach on this thought this morning. Cry now or cry later. Cry now or cry later. Your pastor even mentioned it this morning. I mentioned it when I was teaching Sunday school. And so it's already a theme of even starting out this missions conference this morning about the area of sinners, lost people. Your pastor asked you this morning, how many of you, and I'm going to ask the very same question again this morning, how many of you can hold your hands up and say, Brother Nathan, I have lost family members. Will you raise your hands? Okay, now, you may put your hands down. We'll ask the next question. How many of you say, Brother Nathan, I have lost neighbors, co-workers, classmates? Okay. Now, think of it this way. Just for just 2 seconds, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to see that person in your mind's eye. Can you do that for me? Just close your eyes right now. Can you see them in your mind's eye? You know exactly who they are. You know them by name. You know where they live. You know exactly who they are. Okay, now open your eyes and look at me. Here in Revelation chapter 20, it talks about that there's a judgment. Now, there's actually two judgments that are going to take place when it's all said and done. When life is over, when we're all standing before God, those that are saved are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And there we will be judged with what we've done with the gospel. Okay? But there's another judgment that's going to take place. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Do we all know who is sitting upon that throne? It's Jesus Christ. Christ Himself, the Lamb that was slain, the very individual that came to this earth and bled and died for your sins and for mine. He is the one that's going to judge. And the Bible says this, that In verse 15 of chapter 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Now, this is the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, one by one, they're going to be called. And I don't know if they're going to be called by name or if they're going to be called in a group. All I know is this. Christ is the judge. He's sitting there. And maybe one by one, maybe their name is called out. And as they come forward, I don't know if they're going to have shackles between their hands and their feet. But could you imagine somebody's name being called out and they start making their way forward, and as they do so, oh, and by the way, you're there. You say, preacher, how do you know that the Christians, those that are saved, are there? Verse 4 of chapter 21, what does the Bible say? And God shall wipe away all tears from whose eyes? Their eyes. That's yours and mine. We're watching this take place. How sad would it be at the close of this service? How sad would it be if your phone was to ring and somebody on the other end has to tell you that that very individual that you love so dear, they're no longer with us? How sad would that be? You know what would come to your mind? Why didn't I tell them the gospel? Why didn't I invite them to church? Well, man, if I only done it, if I only just went over there, if I just had the courage to do it. And now it's too late. Now it's too late. I want to challenge you, Scenic Hills Baptist Church, to cry now for lost people. Don't cry then. Then it'll be too late. Cry now for the souls of men. Because listen, when you're that passionate about the souls of men, you know what? You will do whatever it takes in seeing lost people get saved. You'll do whatever it takes in seeing missionaries go around the world. Cry now for lost people.
Amen.
Cry now.
Amen.
Look at me in Psalms 126. First of all, I want you to see the cry of the Christian. The cry of the Christian. Psalms 126. Psalms 126. Look with me in verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And that kind of goes against the grain, doesn't it? I mean, wait a minute. You're telling me, Brother Nathan, if I sow in tears, I will reap in joy? How many of you are adrenaline junkies? Come on now. Anybody? You like roller coasters? Okay. How many of y'all like to drive fast cars? I have found out that people here in Texas like to go fast. Okay. Oh, yeah. How many hunters do we have here this morning? Anybody like to hunt? Okay. Man, listen, hey, it's a great thing to be able to pull the trigger on some big animal. I was showing a preacher before the service. I've shot antelope. I've shot bear. I've shot deer. I've done it. My wife, she loves roller coasters. My kids, they love roller coasters. I live on the flat island. Flat. Low to the ground. Okay. Kelly and I fell in love. We met on a mission trip. She was head of the young ladies. I was head of the young men.
We started the courting process. We already knew it was love at first sight. We knew we were going to get married. She calls me up one day. She says, hey, my family and I, we're all going to Six Flags Over Georgia. Would you like to go? Thinking to myself, truthfully, no. But if it's with you, sure. We got there and everything. And I mean, love is blind. She says, I don't care if we don't write anything as long as we get to spend time together. I took that hook, line, and sinker. We went straight there. We got on acrophobia. It's 300 feet straight up. You go all the way up. And halfway up, she goes, you can open your eyes now. And this is what you heard. Ah! Like a girl. And you'd think I'd told her to be quiet, but no, it was me. Amen. I'm the one screaming. We get all the way to the top. She gives me this penny. I said, what's this for? She says, just stare at the penny. Well, all of a sudden, your seat allows you to see what you're going to splat into. And the penny floated all the way down. It went from one roller coaster to the next. I was in love. The adrenaline was kicking. I love the adrenaline rush. How many of y'all ever rode in a police car? Yeah, some of y'all are like, yeah, I rode in the back. Okay? I did 10 years as a law enforcement chaplain in Montana. I almost like to do 125 on ice and snow down the highway. It's fun. Okay? But out of all those adrenaline rushes that I've experienced, I have not found one yet, preacher, that can outdo taking the Word of God, sitting down with a lost person, and sharing Christ with them. Amen. Seeing them gloriously saved. I'm telling you, it's so worth it. It is so worth it. The Bible says this in verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. What is the precious seed? This is the precious seed. The Word of God. How amazing is it that you and I have a copy of the Word of God in our own language? You know, there's still places, still countries to this day that have yet to have a copy of the Word of God in their language. Now, that's hard to fathom, but that's the truth. The Bible says this, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what, my friend? Listen, hey, heaven is going to be a great place. How many of you already got loved ones that have already died and gone on to heaven? Amen. You know, heaven's going to be a wonderful place. You're going to get to wake up. I mean, listen, you close your eyes on this side and wake up in the pores of glory. How many of y'all, when you woke up this morning, it was snap, crackle, and pop? Yeah. I did martial arts pretty heavily when I was in Peru. I worked with our law enforcement and everything. I know what it's like to break bones. It hurts. When you get older, calcium moves in there. And then they have this great thing that some of y'all are experiencing called arthritis. Brother Nathan, you're too young to have arthritis. I'm 38. It hurts. I'm finding out the older you get, it's not for wimps. Amen. But when we get to heaven, we're going to get a glorified body. Hey, man. No more snap, crackle, and pop. Hey, no more fake parts too. Amen. Anybody got any of those? Some of y'all probably wishing, hey, I wish to God I had some of those. Amen. Listen, hey, when you get that glorified body, you're not going to get that. But can I tell you something? As grand as heaven's going to be, as beautiful as heaven's going to be, I don't want to go there by myself. And if I keep tripping over these steps, I'm going to get there a lot quicker. Amen. Now listen, hey, either we can cry now for the souls of men, or we can cry later. I say cry now. Amen. Cry now. Listen, hey, I'm telling you, it gives you great joy. If you want to see your pastor get happy in Jesus, be probably the closest thing to turning Pentecostal, go to your pastor and say, preacher, will you teach me how to lead someone to Christ? Amen. I'm telling you, he'll get all excited. I hate to tell you this, but in churches, a lot of churches I'm in, and I'm not going to ask you to do this because it might be embarrassing, but I bet you it would be staggering and somewhat embarrassing if I was to ask this morning, how many of you have never led someone to Christ? I think it might shock and amaze you. How many hands would have to embarrassingly go up and say, I've never led someone to Christ? The Great Commission was not given to preachers. It was given to the church. That's you and I. If you're a Yankee, it's you guys. If you're from the South, it's y'all. If you're from North Carolina, it's you-ins. Every last one of us. Amen. The Great Commission was given to all of us. Now, either you can continue through life all you want, and when it's all said and done, what are you going to have to show for it? Or you can say, you know what? I'm determined. Look with me in Jude. Look with me in Jude. Say, Brother Saunders, where in the world is Jude? Well, go back to the end of the Bible once again. You have Revelation. It's the book before Revelation. It's a small, tiny little book.
But boy, I mean, that whacks a great punch. The Bible says here in verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Maybe listen to me. Look at me. You may have been going through life. And you're like, I have no purpose for my life. The Bible says you do.
Amen.
Now, some have compassion, making a difference. Why don't you say, you know what? This morning, right here at this missions conference, right here in the altar of Scenic Hills Baptist Church, I'm going to purpose within my heart that I'm going to make a difference in this world for God's glory. Then let's read on, shall we? The Bible says, and others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by flesh. Scenic Hills Baptist Church, are you prepared? Let me just tell you something. If you think that Satan's going to roll over and allow this missions conference to go on and there's not going to be any fight to this, I'm sorry to tell you, you're wrong.
Amen.
He wants to see every last person die and go to a devil's hell. That's what he wants.
That's right.
The Bible says, and some have, they're saved with fear, willing to pull them out of the fire. Let me ask you a question. Are you ready to take on hell and literally pull them out of the fire? Anybody here is a firefighter? Will you raise your hands? Anybody? Anybody ever done that before? Okay. If you've done that before, you know what it's like. You know what the heat feels like. You've probably even seen individuals burn. Being a first responder, I also worked for a funeral home. I pulled bodies out of homes that had been burnt down. They never made it out. But be willing to go in there and pull them out of the fire. Remember the loved ones now that you just raised your hands about. This family, they're going to China. Let me just tell you something. He's still raising his support. But what about the coronavirus? He's still raising his support. Are the missionaries still there? Their missionaries are still there. They never left. Why? How many have already died? 1,000, I believe, already.
And
almost 3,000. And the majority of them are there in China.
Yeah.
You know how sad that is? He's trying to get there. And already 3,000 people, the majority of them are from China, the very place he's going. Already they have slipped out into eternity. Mm-hmm. And I would venture to say they died without Christ.
Right.
Are you willing to take on hell? We see the cry of the Christian. Number 2, the cry of the condemned. Look with me in. Turn over to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Let me ask you a question. How many of you could quote John 3:16? Can you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, we all know that one. Okay, John 3:18. Ready? That's 17. They're condemned already. He that believeth not is condemned already. We see the cry of the Christian. Number 2, the cry of the condemned. They're condemned already. Brother Nathan, but you had us turn to Luke chapter 16. What place do we find in Luke chapter 16? The place called hell. Come on now, Brother Nathan. You're trying to scare me, aren't you? No, I'm telling you the truth. You're here today. You're lost. You never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you die without Christ, this is the very place that you will be in.
Sure.
Brother Nathan, I thought this was a parable. I thought it was nothing more than just a story. My friend, listen. Parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, and they don't mention names, and yet two names are mentioned. So that tells me, number 1, this is not a story. This is not a parable. This is legit. This is the facts. This is the truth. The Bible says this in verse 23. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham, there's the first name, afar off, and Lazarus, that's the second name, in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. How sad is that? He says, I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us would come from thence. And then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. I want you to understand, listen, there's the cry of the condemned. The cry of the condemned. From the very flames of hell, I want you to understand something this morning. That, listen, just as much as I preached on heaven and said, hey, when we get to heaven, we're going to get a glorified body. It's going to be a wonderful place, the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. And listen, there is no sun there because this S-O-N shines all the time. And it's a wonderful place. But just as those of us who trusted Christ as our Savior, when we die, we get a glorified body. But those who die without Christ, they get a special body too. Their body will burn for all eternity. It will never be consumed. Listen, in the cry of the condemned, I want you to see something, that their future is not going to change. I've heard people say, can I get a second chance? There is no second chance. There is no second chance. In fact, when the lost people stand before God at the great white throne judgment, I can imagine Christ himself will say, and he already knows the answer, is his name found written in the book of life? I can imagine that great angel standing over there with that book looking, no, it is not, my Lord. Then I can imagine Christ saying those horrific words, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Angels, cast them in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. How sad would it be to see someone that you love so dear being dragged away. And here it is now. Remember now, in the Old Testament, they refer to you and I, those of us who do know the truth, those of us who have trusted Christ, as the watchman. And God gave explicit details that for a watchman never to give the warning that their blood would be applied upon our hands. How sad would it be for those of us that are robed in white, standing there watching as this judgment taking place. And you can hear drip, drip. You look down at your hands and your hands are bloody. And as they're being brought before Almighty God, you know what? Red sticks out like a sore thumb among white. How sad would it be if they recognized you and said, why didn't you tell me the gospel? You were saved all this time and you never said a word. You had tracts in your purse and you never gave me one. We were neighbors for years. You never one time invited me to church. You never one time told me the gospel. Why would you do this to me? And they hear those words, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. Angels, cast them in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and his angels. Their future is never going to change. The flame is going to continue. The Bible says that he lifted up his eyes in torment, in pure agony, pure pain, pure torture. All he was asking for was just one drop of water upon his tongue. He said, just one drop. His future is never going to change. The flame is going to continue. And it's going to be that way for all eternity. And for his family, he has great concern. What did he say? He said, I have 5 brethren. He says this, he says, for I have 5 brethren that he may testify in them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Listen, from the very flames of hell. Hey, listen, Scenic Hills Baptist Church, look at me. Listen, from the very flames of hell, they're screaming at the top of their lungs, hey, you that are alive, please tell your family members the truth. Please tell your coworkers, your friends, your family. Tell the world, we don't want them to come to this place. It's a horrible place. That, my friend, is the cry of the condemned. And if we don't do something about it, more are going to slip out into eternity. When lost people die, here's the sad part. When lost people die and go to a devil's hell, it's no more of, well, I don't speak their language. Well, they don't have a Bible in their language. Now, you know what? We need to start saying? It's my fault. It's my fault. If they die without Christ, it's my fault. We need to take personal responsibility because God gave us the Great Commission. If we don't do something about it, more will perish. More will spend eternity in the flames of hell. Why don't we do something about it this morning? There's the cry of the Christian. There's the cry of the condemned. Last of all, there's the cry from Calvary. Look with me in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27.
Matthew's the first book of the New Testament. Now, while you're turning there, I'm going to read you another verse. In Luke 23:33, it's the only place mentioned in the Word of God that names Golgotha Calvary. It says, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, him being Christ. Christ came to this nasty world. He left his robes of splendor and took on the robes of flesh. Most of the time when preachers preach on Calvary, they just talk about the cross. And listen, I love the cross and I thank God for it. But why don't we go back a little bit farther than that, shall we? They beat him with a cat of nine tails. People did not survive that. Yet he did. They beat him to a pulp. Historians said that his figure didn't even look human. They're done beating him with a cat of nine tails. You could literally look into his insides. All the portraits that you see of the crucifix, he's somewhat clothed. Let me just tell you something. The Bible says he hung there in shame. There was nothing there. They took a crown of thorns, large thorns, and they beat it into his skull. And crucifixion alone was an agonizing death. You pretty much drowned to death of your own fluids. Why in the world would God love you and I so much? He would come to this nasty world and not only just bear the sins of those of the past, but of those to come. When he had, listen, when he was in the Garden of Eden, when he took on the cat of nine tails, when they beat him, when they mocked him, when they spit upon him, when they put those nails through his hands and his feet, you know what? It was so amazing that you and I were on his mind the entire time. Because he knows you by name. The cry of the Christian. The cry of the condemned. The cry from Calvary. Look at me in Matthew chapter 27. Look at me in verse 50. The Bible says, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent twain from top to bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks did rent. He cried out. What were the last words he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And amazing that even from Calvary, he was saying, Lord, forgive them. Man, forgiveness was already on his heart. Listen, you're here today, you're lost, you don't know Christ. Hey, listen, today's the day of salvation. Hey, he stands ready. He stands ready to come into your heart. He stands ready to save your wretched soul. Why not trust Christ as your Savior today? Amen. But for those of us that are saved, how amazing is it to know that we were upon his mind? All of us, lost and saved. And then the Bible says that he rent the veil in twain. What in the world was that veil? It was the Holy of Holies. No man was allowed back there except the high priest. He said, well, what happened if he had sin in his life? God would strike him dead. Well, how'd they get his body out? They always tied a rope to his ankle. He had bells on the bottom of his robes. And as long as everybody heard jingle bells, they knew everything was okay. But if the music ever stopped, if those bells didn't ring, and that rope was taut, they'd pull his body out. They'd strip him of his robes. They'd draw straws. And guess what? Somebody else has got to go in next. When God rent that veil in twain, that curtain that separated us from him. You know what he was saying? Come one, come all, and see the face of God. Salvation is full and free to every man. How many of y'all remember the day you got saved? Amen. How glad of a day that was. Now, just as much joy as that gave us the day we got saved. What about those who haven't heard? Once again, I ask you, are you going to cry now or are you going to cry later? But Nathan, is it really worth leading people to Christ? I'm telling you it is. But it's high time that our tears, our eyes are wet with tears now and not later. Later, it'll be too late. Every head bowed, every eye closed.